Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast, heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday at the same time. And I want to continue on in a message I've entitled Of Mercy and Judgment. We're looking at an episode in the life of Elijah the prophet and that of King Ahaziah, who was king of Israel, son of Ahab, in the first chapter of 2 Kings. And I spent some time sharing the events. I took time to read it. And what we still want to look at, what lessons can be learned. Here we see an ungodly king. His parents had turned away, had caused Israel to forsake the living God. They worshiped other gods. And in this particular king's life, it said he fell through a lattice. He was sick. He was injured. And instead of using that critical moment in his life, in fact, obviously, whatever the full condition, it doesn't outline it, but obviously he was concerned about whether or not he was going to live. And so he sent messengers to inquire of the god of Ekron, Baal, to see if he would recover. And it was then that Elijah met this group of messengers, two contingents, and he said, if I be a man of God, because he gave the word, he will not recover. He said, isn't there a God in Israel that you don't seek me? That was the word of the Lord, but instead go to Baal to seek understanding and wisdom. And so there was a third contingent who this man threw himself on the mercy of Elijah, and then basically Elijah went to the king face to face, delivered the same message. Now, those are the facts of what happened, but what can we learn from this? And I see great application to the church today. There were those, just like Ahab, Jezebel, Ahaziah, who knew of the living God, but they, for whatever reasons, to be like the nations round about them, they forsook their religious heritage and followed after other gods. And of course, they reaped the judgment of that. They were forewarned. If you know, Moses was very clear before he died. If you don't follow after the Lord, he will forsake you. And so the period of the judges where Israel went away from God, and then they were hurting and in trouble and in persecution. Then they called out to God and God raised up a judge. That happened over and over and over. Beloved, human nature has not changed. The circumstances and of the culture, the time, that all changes, but human nature has not changed. And we have come to a place today within the Christian church that many are going apostate. They are wanting to be successful. They believe success is evaluated or earned in terms of number and size and prestige and finances, and they are doing whatever they can not to offend. They don't want to preach about sin. They don't want to preach about salvation. They don't want to preach about being filled with the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Beloved, that's what Jesus told his disciples to do. They weren't not to go out on their mission until they received the Holy Spirit coming upon them at Pentecost. And he said, you shall receive power. That's the importance of being filled with the Spirit of God. When we're saved, yes, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in our hearts. You can't be saved without the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. But there is an empowering that comes to those who are hungry and seeking after the Lord. And because many have no desire to even seek after the power of God, they're using worldly ways of marketing, of increasing revenue, increasing prestige and influence in the community. They're using all manner of things except the way of the Lord. I tell you, if you want to go up in God, you've got to get down on your knees. Beloved, God has burned such a burning yearning in my heart in prayer for God's people. I'm part of a prayer group. We pray earnestly, and I believe God is raising up other Christians who will weep between the porch and the altar and cry out to God in behalf of this nation and in behalf of those who know the way of truth. But like Ahab and Azariah, they've gone their own way. They're seeking other truths because, well, it's all relevant. You know, the mentality is today anybody can make it to heaven. It doesn't matter. You're a good person. Of course you're going to make it to heaven. That is not what the scriptures say. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life, the door to the sheepfold. And beloved, we need to pray for church leaders, those who are leading the sheep astray. If a blind leader causes his followers to fall, they're both going to fall in the ditch, is what Jesus said. And so, beloved, we need to pray for church leaders. We need to pray for those who are out in the world. There are those who are utterly wicked, been committed to the wages of sin. They in the various industries, in music, in the arts, in media, in the film industry, and we need to pray for them. And you might say, oh, Sister Glass, that's, you know, some of them, they're just totally reprobate. Well, you know what? Only God is the judge. We have the responsibility to pray. The prophet Samuel, he said, God forbid, even when God had rejected Saul, he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord by not remembering you in prayer, if I cease to remember you in prayer and pray for you. We, as God's people, need to call out for judgment as well as mercy. You see, the significance in this portion of scripture I shared is that God was giving Ahaziah a chance. I mean, his parents made their choice, but even though he followed in the ways of his parents, God was being merciful. And as I shared, was it yesterday, Hezekiah had the same death sentence. Isaiah delivered a prophetic word, you know, put your house in order. The Lord says you're going to die. Well, he turned to the Lord, turned his face to the wall and prayed. God granted him another 15 years. And so let's look a little more closely at this passage of scripture. It's not Christ that has failed, that has called multitudes to forsake the living God and seek other gods. So many in church, they're leaving the church. Why? Because there's no power. There's no demonstration of the Spirit of God. The blame, beloved, can be laid foursquare at the door of the church world because literally thousands of churches have forsaken the true and living God and have substituted other gods for Jehovah. Cultural relativism. We need to be embracive. We need to be tolerant. We need to just be loving. Well, beloved, God is the epitome of love. Jesus was the very fullness of the Godhead bodily represented on this earth. He was love incarnate. But beloved, be not deceived. God is not mocked. What a man sows, he shall reap. So what do we see going back to this chapter? The king, Ahaziah, sends a group of messengers. And in verse 6, we see that the message that is given is, thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. He sent messengers, and they never got to their destination, but Elijah met them with a message from God and says, tell your king this word. And when you look at this, what happened? They actually believe this prophet of God. They disobeyed the king. You don't do that. You don't disobey the orders of a king. When he says to do something, you had better do it. But why? They were convinced that this man spoke with authority. Yeah, he spoke more than human authority. The anointing of God was upon him. And if Elijah had spoken to these messengers, like a lot of preachers preach today, they would have no more believed him than many preachers are believed today. Can I hear an amen out there? So, beloved, what do we see? And it's interesting to see Ahaziah's response. He didn't blame the messengers that he sent for turning back, which would have been a just reaction, but he blamed God's servant for prophesying his death. So what happens? He takes a captain with 50 men, and they were ordered to go and take Elijah captive and bring him before the king. So, what do we see in verse 9? They found Elijah on top of a hill. And with a mocking tone of contempt and insolence, the captain said, "Thou man of God, the king has said, come down," as if what the king said was of greater import than what God had said. And the captain of the second band of 50 men was even more insolent. You remember, they were both incinerated with fire from heaven. He was more insolent. The captain of that second band said, "Come down quickly." And so, what do we see here? Elijah was walking with God. In fact, he was one that never saw death. Remember, a fiery chariot came and took him to heaven. Hallelujah. But he was on top of a hill, and God had sent his angel to watch over him. And beloved, I see in this a symbol, if you will, or a type of a hilltop of experiencing God, a peaceful and glorious communion in God's presence that we can have in the very face of battle and attack from Satan. He was not on that same level that those messengers. He was on a hill. Hallelujah. Let's lift our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our salvation. Amen. And in verses 10 through 11, we see Elijah, the servant of God, calling on God. And God vindicated his servant by answering with fire from heaven. Now, some people would blame Elijah or God for the destroying, consuming fire, but the first and second bands of men were mocking God. They were rebellious, insolent, and sacrilegious. They brought their own punishment down on themselves. We are told that God is a consuming fire, and he will not hold them guiltless who take his name in vain. And one day, beloved, all the mockers and scoffers will one day pay the awful price of their insolence and stiff-neckedness. Amen. Well, I'm going to stop right here. We'll continue on tomorrow. I hope you can join me. But in the moments that remain, I invite you to write and share your prayer requests. And also, if you'd like to request this free booklet we're offering, a booklet to encourage your faith that Brother Glass wrote back in the 80s, and we've had a request for it, a physician in Florida, and we are making them available to you. So when you write, send your prayer requests and request, "Which way are you running?" the little booklet by Reverend Neil Glass. We'll be happy to put it in the mail to you. Thank you so much for joining me, and thank you for your prayer support as well as your financial gifts that we can remain on this station. I love you, pray for you every day, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.